Good morning and good afternoon. Welcome to day 5 of our consecration and day 1 of this new year of walking with God. This is a beginning of our 3rd year of this daily fellowship room. Isn't that marvelous? Praise God. October 1, 2022. Was when this room opened up by the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. He called it forth and he gave us a charge to do this every morning. He said, bring the wood and set it in order on the fire every morning and crank it up. And he said, the fire, don't let up. He said, the fire shall never go out. So I want to remind us of the things that the Lord told us, you know, that was 2 years ago. He said, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. That was the charge he gave us, Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. And lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Hallelujah. That's the word the Lord gave. And my goodness, has the Lord sustained that word? My goodness or not, he has absolutely sustained it. Has kept us every day over those last 2 years. And we have been here continually in fellowship. And so this is year 3. And we want to thank everyone that's joined us, that's been a part of this ministry and this platform since those 2 years. Some of you were here from day 1. Some joined along the way. And a lot of great things we have experienced, the Lord has showered upon us during this time. And now we are poised, that's right, for this 3rd year. And in this 3rd year, we're expecting great things. The Lord himself said, today and tomorrow I walk miracles, and on the 3rd day I will be perfected. Well, the 1st and 2 years, we've seen a lot of miracles and heard a lot of testimonies in this room and on this platform. We're expecting a new beginning. Hallelujah. A new beginning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Good morning and good afternoon. Welcome everyone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray again and get into today's lesson. And I believe the Lord's going to bless every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We love you this morning. Praise the Lord. Do you love him? Yes, we love you, Lord, because of what you've done, what you're doing, and what we are yet to receive of you, which you've already done. And Lord, we thank you. We give you honor and praise. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine in our hearts today. Cause that light to shine in our hearts today. Bring in revelation, understanding in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Nehemiah chapter 9, we're told that on the fasting day, they prayed, they read the scriptures. I'm going to read the scripture reading today on this fasting day. And we'll make an announcement later on about the fasting, which we'll be concluding today. But let me read to you this lesson from Genesis chapter 8. And I preached on this the 1st day that this room opened as well. And the Lord brought it to my remembrance. So I'm going to preach on this again today. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah. May the Lord remember you also even today. Well, Noah had been through a lot of things with his family. you know, for many, many days, 150 and so on. They've been tossed up and down. I mean, it seemed like, I mean, their breath and their heart were in their mouth. It's like, you know, and his family wondered, is this ever going to end? You know, is this ever going to end? Up and down, sideways and everything, you know, just carried up and down like that. Is this ever going to end? Are we going to be stuck in here for the rest of our lives? Well, the Lord, he remembered Noah. And may the Lord also remember you even on this day. Lord remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters are switched. That means they stopped and ceased. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven that had been opened up, pouring down rain upon them, were stopped. Hallelujah. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from the earth, from off the earth, continually. That's right. Continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually. Now, in the month of July this year, the Lord called it forth for us as the beginning and the month of rest. And I believe that even though the enemy has fought and tried to change that word that the Lord gave, I believe the waters have been receding, receding continually and receding continually. Now it says the waters decrease continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, such as today, were the tops of the mountains seen. Hallelujah. Praise God. The top of the mountains shall be seen. Your eyes will see it even on this day, beginning this day. And what mountain are we talking about? Well, let's look at it. Number one, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, let's read what it talks about, the mountain that we are talking about here. In the last days, he said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, the top of the mountains. There is something about that. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it, and many people shall come and say, and this is my prayer, and I'm believing that this platform, hallelujah, the Lord will exalt the glory of the Lord, and many people will come and say, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Let us come on into walking with God, the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we walk in his paths, for out of Zion, that's the mountain of the Lord, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, not only did Isaiah give this prophecy, Micah gave the same prophecy in Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. Hallelujah. And many nations and peoples shall come and say, come and let us go unto the mountain of the Lord and the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord shall go out of forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Can you see how these two prophets prophesied exactly the same thing? Bible say that mouth of the two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. And let's jump forward to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, talking about where we are now on the mountain of the Lord. You know, and there's a significance for that, the reason why I'm bringing this out, so that we can understand prophetically what the Lord is saying to us today. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, Hebrews 12 and 22. Ye are come unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, unto the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, even the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So we see that we are now on this heavenly mount. Well, you know, think of it this way. If you are at the bottom of the mount, and you are close to the bottom of the mount, because of the gradient and the line of sight, you really can't see the top of the mountain. You know, if you're standing right at the foot of a mountain and you look up, you really can't see the top. You know, but you've got to move back. The Lord showed me that in the spirit one time. I stood in the mount of a, I stood at the bottom of a mount that completely was overwhelming. I could not see the top until the voice of the Lord says, "Stand back and see the glory of the Lord." And when I stood back, and you know, the line of sight, the gradient, I stood back far enough that I could see the top of the mountain. And what did I see at the top of the mountain? This mountain that looked so huge. When I was standing right at the foot of it, all of a sudden, there was this colossal figure that was standing astride the mountain. One foot on this side, I mean one leg on this side, one leg on the other, and it completely dwarfed the mountain. Ha! My goodness, and I understood the vision, and it spoke to my heart. It was a revelation. I understood it, and it spoke to my heart. And the Lord says to every one of you today, on this first day of this 10th month, the top of the mountains will be seen. And what are you going to see at the top of the mountain? The glory of the Lord. The Lord has been telling us to arise and to shine, because the glory of the Lord is risen upon us, and we are set for a new beginning. Now, I want to say to everyone, you know, that been dealing with one thing or another, and whatever the devil challenge you with, today you will say, the Bible says, you know, "I will say of the Lord," you know, the psalmist, he likes to say things like that. "I will say of the Lord, he is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my refuge, he is my high tower, he is my hiding place, and he's also become my salvation and my song." Well, today you will say, when the devil brings up anything, you will say, "That was then, but this is now. This is a new day." Hallelujah. And I'm so excited that you are all here to celebrate this new day with us. Today is a day of celebration, not a day of mourning, not a day of fasting. Fasting is over at the end of this room today. So it's a day of joy. It's a day of jubilation. Praise God. We want you to rejoice in the salvation and the victory of the Lord. Everything that the Lord has pronounced to us since the beginning of these consecration days, I will exhort you, encourage you, and recommend that you go back and listen to all the pronunciations that the Lord has uttered forth. He said he will go before his army. He will utter forth his voice, and the voice of the Lord is strong. And he has uttered forth his voice. The other day, just yesterday, he told us that the gates are now open. He commanded even the gates to be open, and he commanded us to go through. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the beginning of our going through. Now, let me quickly remind us, today is a day of remembrances. I want to quickly remind us of all the things that the Lord has been telling us, even since that 2022, that this room and this platform daily began. The Lord told us in year 2022 that we will emerge. The Lord also told us that message was first given at GMI Church on the first day of January 2022. That was the message for the year. And we have repeated it and told the people that came on this platform when it started, the message of the Lord. And we had been believing it. And some people began indeed to emerge. The following year in 2023. And then the following year in 2024, the Lord said that we will experience a quantum leap. A quantum leap. So you see, this year, 2024, happened to be a leap year. And I'll tell you how that message of quantum leap came about. I was in prayer, always in prayer, towards either the end of the year, you know, going up into the first of the year, waiting for a word to come out and then share with the people, generally at GMI Church first. They are always the first recipient of that. And I come on, you know, believing the Lord, and the Lord told me it'll be a quantum leap year. And I'm thinking in my head, I know what quantum leap means. I know what quantum leap means. And then I looked up, and at the time, I did not even know that 2024 was a leap year. I didn't know it at the time until I heard that word. So I went and looked quickly, and I calculated it in my head to say, well, is 2024 actually a leap year? I looked at the calendar, and lo and behold, there was day 29 in February. And I said, oh, my goodness. And that, you know, strengthened my mind to say, indeed, the Lord had confirmed it. He said it would be a quantum leap, and we're in a quantum leap year. And I came out and began to prophesy it. And the Lord said, prophesy it, speak it. And I've been speaking it. And I said, well, some of us will experience it, you know, and if you believe it, you can experience it too. I described also many things, what quantum leap meant, you know, and how God can radically change something, you know, something that could take you a long time, naturally speaking, and he can just quantum leap you into that thing. There are several examples, and I want to remind us of some of it because we're still in 2024. And this being the first day of the last quarter of this year, let me remind you of the quantum leap, hallelujah, that the Lord promised us, so that you can begin to believe the Lord to experience something new. That's right. Something new. Now, what is the meaning of a quantum leap in the context of which the Lord is telling this to us? What is the meaning? Well, the meaning is that we are going to experience a sudden elevation. That's right. A sudden elevation. And did you know there were many, many, examples in the Bible of people that experienced a sudden elevation. Now, God might have promised them something, you know, but he dragged on and dragged on and dragged on, you know, and it looked like it was never coming to pass, right? And then all of a sudden, in one day, everything changed. And everything that the Lord had promised came to pass in one day, in one moment. Joseph was a good example. By dreams, you know, God revealed to him that he will be above his brethren. But a lot of evil things happened to him as the brethren conspired to destroy his destiny and that future that God promised him. And a lot of things happened to him. And you know the story. I'm not going to tell that story today. This is just a quick summary. You know, but in one day, he experienced a quantum leap from prison to vice regent over the land. In fact, Pharaoh said, only in the throne will I be greater than you. I will be only a figurehead, is what Pharaoh said, pretty much. You will be the one in command of operations, in command of administrations, in command of even everything that goes on in the land. No one will lift a finger but by Joseph. I am Pharaoh, he said, and you are Joseph. He put his ring on his finger. My goodness, I gave him his robe, his chariot and everything. I said everybody should bow the knee to Joseph in one day. Now, despite all the years that he had been languishing, you know, they sold him into slavery and all of that. Potiphar's wife, you know, framed him for a crime he did not commit. They threw him into prison. He languished there some more and so on and so forth. And even when he was expecting some relief after the butler was released, please remember me and speak a word to Pharaoh on my behalf. 2 years later, he was still there. And on and on and on and on. I mean, it just seemed like all kinds of things were happening to him. You know, evil things, it seemed. And the devil, I guarantee you, the whole time was reminding him the words that his brother spoke. His brother spoke that we will see what will become of your dreams now. A dreamer of dreams cometh. You're going to rule over us, huh? We'll see about that. And the devil would remind him during all that time. But in one day, ladies and gentlemen, quantum leap can happen in one day. You know, one day and one moment appointed by God, timed perfectly in destiny. It happened that Pharaoh dreamt some dreams that he could not understand. And they were looking for someone to interpret those dreams. And then nobody could. Then the butler remembered and said, I remember my fault this day. For when Pharaoh was wrath with me and the baker and cast us into prison, there was a young Jew with us as well, who on one day we told both of us to him our dreams. And he interpreted and he fell to us just like he said. To the baker, he was executed. And to me, I was restored. And this was exactly how he interpreted the dream. I pray you, Pharaoh, call this man and he will show Pharaoh his dreams. Now, in one day, ladies and gentlemen, this man experienced the quantum leap. Something, you know, God actually did not entirely promise him a quantum leap. God just showed him that he will be above his brothers. How he will get there, God didn't say. That he will go into slavery and all of that, God didn't say. God did show him, though, that he will be above them. But the Lord took him through all of that. And when at the last moment, it seemed like he was going to rot away in prison, the word of the Lord found him. Ha! Glory to God. And brought him out of prison in one day and set him upon the throne. And both Potiphar, who cast him into prison, and his wife, who framed him, they had to bow the knee. And they bowed the knee. And even his brothers, who had said, we'll see what that will be, they came and they bowed the knee. Hallelujah. Quantum leap! In one day. Well, there are many stories like that in the Bible. there were some people who were slaves in the Bible, who also in one day rose to great heights. In the stories that we see in the chapters of Esther in the book, you know, she herself rose to great heights in one day. She was a slave girl, you know, had nothing going for her. But, you know, in order that the Lord might bless and elevate and position her in a place to save the Jews later on, you know, God began to orchestrate some things. You know, so the Queen Vashti herself began to be disrespectful to her husband and so on and so forth, till they were looking for another queen. And it came to pass that her uncle Mordecai said to Esther, I'm putting your name in the pageant. And well, she, you know, auditioned, and favor of God was on her. But that was only, you know, the plan of God to elevate her to be the queen. It was a quantum leap. How do you go from being a slave to becoming a queen? To the point where the king would say to her on a particular occasion, you know, that she would desire something of him. Ask me anything and I'll give it to you, to the half of the kingdom. And she experienced that constantly. And what about her uncle himself? He experienced it too. When his enemy, nemesis Haman, was wanting to destroy him and kill not only him and the Jews, all of the Jews, because his friends told him, this man who wouldn't bow down to you, I mean, killing him alone would be nothing. Kill him and kill all his tribe, every last one of them. And so the man, wanting to do that, you know, he erected gallows, he did everything, and wanting to go to the king to get the last orders to execute them all the night before, in order that Mordecai would experience a quantum leap, the Lord made the king, the angel of the Lord, troubled the king in his dream. I mean, in his night, in the night's sleep, he couldn't sleep. The Lord troubled him. He could get no sleep that night. So he asked chamberlains, I cannot sleep. Bring me. Now, he could have asked for anything. He could have said, bring me a minstrel to play music for me so I could sleep. He could have said that, but he didn't. The angel of the Lord, you know, made him lose his sleep. That's number one. Also made him ask for something to read. And they could have brought him anything to read. But they brought him the Chronicles, you know, and things that had happened in the kingdom. And he began to read it. And he found in the place, the Lord directed him to find the place where it was written, that Mordecai has certified the king twice, you know, and saved his life of plots to assassinate the king. And the king said, was there anything done for this Mordecai, for these acts that he did to save the life of the king? And they said, no. And he said, wow. Why not? I said, well, you know, I said, well, I am resolved what I'm going to do. I am going to promote this man, you know. And so at that very moment, Haman came into the courthouse to ask the king to give him permission to destroy not only Mordecai, but the Jews. See how God works. And the king said, who is in the court? And he said, Mordecai just came in. He said, good. Come on in, Mordecai. At that time, he was a favored man. And the king asked of him, now, when the king wants to, you know, promote someone in whom the king delights, what shall the king do? And this man is thinking, well, who else would the king promote except me? I'm the only one that's been invited to all these banquets. So he began to pile it on. Let the king give him his crown. Let the king put upon him his ring. Let the king put upon him his robe. Let the king put upon him, give him his chariot. Let the king proclaim that he's, you know, everybody should bow the knee to him, because he thought it was for him. So the Lord set a table before Mordecai in the presence of his enemies and made the chiefest enemy, his greatest nemesis, to serve him that on that table. And the king said to him, go and see to it that not one word will diminish of all that you have said, and do it unto Mordecai. Oh my goodness. And in one day, Mordecai rose from sitting at the gate, because that's all where he sat at the gate every day, couldn't even go into the palace, sat at the gate, rose from that day, in one day, quantum leap, to the one that everybody in the kingdom bowed the knee, and they paraded him about the place, and God turned the tables in the favor of the Jews. I can go on and on of people who have risen from obscurity in one day. Ha! A quantum leap. Praise the Lord. And we heard the story of this Mephibosheth. We have heard this story multiple times. I have told it. Someone else has told it in this room. But here was a man that rose from obscurity. He was the son of Jonathan, the one that was left after all the others were killed. And while his nurse was trying to make him escape, he fell down, broke his leg or something, and became lame. And from that day, he was nobody for many years, until in 2 Samuel chapter 9, one day King David, after having become king, he remembered the goodness of Jonathan. But Jonathan saved his life on several occasions, you know, when Saul wanted to kill David. And he asked his servants, I say, who is left of the house of Saul that I may do him good because of Jonathan? And they say, well, you know, there is this one person somewhere. We have to go look for him. He's lame upon his feet. And David commanded that they should go find this man. And when the man came before David, he came trembling, because he thought that surely my life is gone for me today. This man will surely kill me because of all the evil that Saul did unto him. You know, but contrarywise, hallelujah. In one day, one moment, this man, Mephibosheth, experienced a quantum leap. And it was never said that anyone would sit on the king's table except the princes, and the princes of that king, not some other prince or ex-prince. But this man, Mephibosheth, experienced a quantum leap. You can read the story for yourself in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, this man will from this day sit with me on my table, and he will eat with me on my table all the days of his life. The man had thought himself as a dead dog, as nothing. And not only that, David said to Ziba, who was, you know, captain of all the servants in the time of Saul. And he said, from now on, you report to Mephibosheth. He's now your master. And everything that Saul had now belongs to this man. And you do to him whatever he asks of you from this day forward. And not only that, he will sit with me on my table. In one day, glory to God, you know, all, you know, the servants of Saul, which was Ziba, and his own sons, everyone. And he had 15 sons and 20 servants. All of them from that day became servants of Mephibosheth. My goodness. And in one day, the man experienced a quantum leap. Well, I can go on and on about quantum leap, but you get the point. You've heard this before. This is just a reminder. This day is the beginning of months unto you, saith the Lord. This month shall be the beginning of months. God has aligned things. Even as he asked Job in Job 38 and verse 33, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion upon the earth? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you today that the Lord has set some ordinances in the heavens to bring to pass certain things upon the earth for you. That's right. The Lord said, look, you will be, trees of righteousness in my hand. Hallelujah. Everything that the Lord does, well, first of all, it is for his glory, but it is also for your blessings, because you are indeed the apple of his eyes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Lord has put his spirit upon you. Hallelujah. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 51 and let's read verse 16. Praise the Lord. The things that God is doing, the things that he has put in place, the blessing of the Lord that he put in place, even ordinances of heaven, are for your benefit and for his glory. Hallelujah. He says, I have put, well, let me read it for, from a few verses earlier so that you can get the context. We'll take it from verse 12 of Isaiah 51. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that should die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you have feared continually every day because of the so-called, I put that there, fury of the oppressor, as if the oppressor were ready to destroy. And the Lord said, where is the fury of the oppressor? I'm looking, I can't see it. Praise Lord, because Dagon is falling before the ark. Now, the Lord said, why are you afraid of a man? Why are you afraid of anybody? And you forget the Lord. Some people are constantly in fear of somebody is going to do this, somebody is going to do that. What about the Lord? The Lord shall be your fear. Hallelujah. And no one else. The captive exile, he said, he hasteneth that he may be loosed and all of that. That he should not die in the feet. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. Remember, he divided the Red Sea. And he caused the children of Israel to go on dry land. And he divided even the waters in the beginning. He said, let the waters that be above the firmament be gathered together on one side. And let the dry land appear. Hallelujah. And Moses, he remembered that. But the Lord showed him that when he wrote the book of Genesis. When he was standing there, he said, wow, my goodness. Ah. And he commanded, stretch forth his rod over the Red Sea, and the waters piled up on either side. And the Lord is reminding them here, I'm the one that did that. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you in the shadow of my hand. Now, why? That I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and I may say unto you, that you are my people. I mean, look at all the, it's like, this is where people say, you move heaven and earth. That's where it came from. God said, look, I'm going to do this in heaven. I'm going to do this upon the earth just to put my glory upon you. The ordinances are in place. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants you to stand up, arise, and shine. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a reminder of the word of the Lord for the quantum leap. And no matter how long it takes, and I was talking yesterday about salvation that will spring forth upon this platform. What about the thief on the cross? That was the greatest quantum leap of all. From being condemned to die. And he himself said with his word of his own mouth that, I've done these things. we have done these things and we deserve this death. And then he turned to the Lord, and this man was punished and being crucified for all the murderous things and evil things that he had done. And he was on his way straight to hell. And in one moment, a condemned, person, a condemned evil and wicked person that had done all these evil, condemned, crucified, bleeding, trying, with his last breath to reach out. And he reached out to the Lord with his last breath. In one moment, this man experienced a quantum leap. And this is the greatest quantum leap in that Bible. From going to hell straight into paradise. Hallelujah. In one moment, one last moment where everyone thought it was over. He himself thought it was over. Now, he knew it was over, not just even thought. He was already crucified on the cross, dying out. He reached out to the Lord, and the Lord changed that in one moment. And the Lord can do that for anyone. Bring your unsaved friends to this room. Invite them and invite your unsaved family members as well. I have been praying that the Lord will cause the heavens to drop down, righteousness to spring forth in the earth and upon this platform. For the Lord said, I have created it. Glory to God. And so this is the moment for your quantum leap. Never mind what happened up to here. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's a lot of things that Joseph kept going through, and it didn't look like that word would ever come to pass. Well, so it's the same for you. You say, well, the Lord said I will emerge. Well, the Lord said I will experience quantum leap. But look at me. Well, that was then. But this is now. We are in the moment now. This is a new season for you. Beginning on this day, to the which the Lord said, today and tomorrow I walk miracles. So the first and second year. And on the third year, I will be perfected. And even Hosea, speaking prophetically, he prophesied this same thing. In the book of Hosea, chapter 6. And verse 1, he said, come and let us return unto the Lord. He has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, well, I can say, well, after 2 days, after 2 years on this platform, and the third, that's a prophetic significance to the first, second, and third. See that in the scriptures. So we've been through the first, second, and third. We are now here in the third. And in the third day, he will perfect us. He will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. There's a prophetic significance to that also concerning the translation. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years and 2,000 years. And in the third year, we will live in his sight. We're expecting the coming of the Lord as well. But before that, we're expecting this in a micro division of time to happen to us. Since the first year was completed and the second year was completed, on this third year, as we enter into it, this will be the beginning of new things. The raising up that God promised. He said he will raise us up. That third day. Well, the raising up is a quantum leap. That means something that would have taken you months and years to get there. Suddenly, the Lord will get you there. Amen. So I want you to be in expectation. Now, miracles from the Lord must be preceded by expectation. Expectation. When you are praying and believing God for something, don't be doubtful in your heart. Jesus taught his disciples this principle. He said, when you say to the obstacles and the mountains and the various gates and what have you, when you say be cut down or be removed or be opened or whatever, Don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that those things that you say will come to pass, and you will have whatsoever you say. Mark 11 and 23. For I say unto you, verily, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart. That part is so important. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. And that's a lesson that should be repeated to everybody every single day. Because we are faced with things, and sometimes we forget these principles, the basic principles of the oracles of God. This is how it works. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, you will have whatsoever you say. Now, let's not be praying for something, and when you see the beginning of it, and you start to doubt that, you know, that can't be. This was the case in Acts chapter 12, when they were praying for Peter to be released. And when indeed he was released, they didn't believe it. They say, it can't be him. It's got to be his angel. And the young lady said, but you were just praying. You know, so as we are praying, let's be believing God that the very thing you are praying for is coming, and it's just around the corner. And when you see it, it may not come as a deluge at first. Elijah was a man of like passion, we are told. And when he began to say, I hear the abundance of rain, God already showed him. And he saw it. The Lord told him, I will send rain upon the earth today. So go show yourself to Ahab. He already knew it was coming, but it didn't look like it was coming. And even though God said it was coming, it did not look like it was coming. The heavens were brass. Nothing was happening. And Elijah looked up. There was no rain. There was no cloud in sight. But he remembered the word of the Lord. He knew what he heard. He said, I hear already the sound of abundance of rain. And I asked people a couple of weeks ago, can you smell what the Lord is cooking? Even though it's not ready and he's preparing it in the kitchen, can you smell it? You know, Elijah smelt it. He knew it was coming, but he saw nothing. And in fact, he asked his servant, go check it out. The man came and said, I see nothing. Well, was that not enough to discourage the man? No, not if you are Elijah. He's going to keep praying, you know. And that also reminds us this lesson today. Today is a day of remembrances. It reminds us also that, look, when God has promised something, you cannot just fold your arms and say, God has promised, therefore it is going to be. It is going to be. But not if the devil has something to say about that. You know, when God has promised something, that devil is going to fight it tooth and nail. So you can't just fold your arm and say, well, God said it. You know, well, there's a part that you must play. You have to pray it through. God already told Elijah. He actually even saw it in the spirit, he even heard it in the spirit. But yet there was nothing. But he had to keep praying 7 times. We don't know how long in between each of those prayers. I guarantee you it wasn't a one sentence prayer. Because the Bible says later in James that he prayed fervently. So he spent some more time in prayer. Had his head between his knees. And finally he raised up again and told his servant, go check it out again. The man came back and said, nothing. I mean, you would have thought the Lord already had the rain prepared. Because the Lord already told it. You would have thought there was no need to go through all those agony in prayer again. God already said it's coming. You already knew it. You already spoke it. Just send the rain already. But no, God was leaving that there for a lesson for us. That then, even though the Lord promised you the quantum leap, you know, at times it will look like there is nothing. And it might look even like the opposite, you know, but you got to get in and under the cloud of prayer. And Elijah did. Put his knees, head between his knees again. The third time, sent the servant, nothing. Fourth time, nothing. Fifth time, nothing. Sixth time, nothing. My goodness. I mean, that was enough to discourage him. I say, well, maybe I didn't hear from the Lord. But he did hear from the Lord. And you did hear from the Lord. So don't let any of these things discourage you. Stay right there. In fact, stay right there. What did the scripture tell us to do in this same Isaiah 51 that we read? He said, look, you heard from the Lord. You're doing everything you can. You're believing the word of God. But yet it looks, looks like, you can't, hear, you can't hear anything from the Lord. What did he say in Isaiah 50? He said that you should stay upon your God. Let me read to you in Isaiah 50, not 51. Who is among you, verse 10, that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant? You are doing the right thing. You are believing the word of God, but it looks like you are still in darkness and you have no light. And there is nothing coming. I mean, the Lord spoke to you. There is a rain coming, an abundance of rain. You saw it in the spirit. You heard it in the spirit. But yet the heavens are brass. Nothing happening. What should you do? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. And let him stay upon his God. Stay right there with the word of the Lord. Don't give an inch. And Elijah never gave an inch. Sent his servant finally the seventh time, and the man said, wow, I see something, as I see a cloud. I'm looking at the horizon now, and I see a cloud rising out of the sea. And Elijah immediately said, that's it. That's it right there. Praise the Lord. Now, those are lessons of faith for us. You stay right with the promise of the quantum leap, and no matter what it looks like right now, you stay right there. But I do have another word of the Lord for you to close this out for you today. Today is a day of joy and a day of celebration. And, we're told in Habakkuk that the vision will not be delayed. Even though it looks like it is delayed, well, just stay right there and wait for it. It will speak, it will not lie. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Well, in the late quarter or now of 2024, the vision was given, the word was spoken from the beginning, but it said at the end it shall speak. Well, we are at the end now, and it shall speak. It will not lie, and it will not be delayed. Though it tarry, and even though it has tarried, wait for it, because it shall surely come, saith the Lord, and it will not tarry. Hallelujah. And that's Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. And the prophet Ezekiel, now this was a man that was used to seeing the glories of God, the wheel within the wheel, fire enfolding itself, and various things. And he knew it too. And he experienced the glory of God, and he said it, this is the way that he said it. And again, it's the same thing about, don't think that the word of the Lord is delayed forever and that it won't come to pass. It will certainly come to pass. So let's read it together in Ezekiel chapter 12. And upon this, I will pray over the room. Today is a day of remembrance. Today is a day of joy that the mountain tops will now be visible to you. What you hitherto thought was unattainable, you begin to see it in sight. The rain that had been delayed, you will now see that little cloud rising out of the sea. The thing that you have been believing God for, there'll come a little seed. Jesus said, first, a little seed, a little blade, a little corn, and then the fullness of it. There's a process to it coming. But here's the way Ezekiel brought it out. He said, for I am the Lord, in Ezekiel 25, I mean 12 verse 25. I am the Lord and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. Well, let me put it to you this way. I am the Lord and I have spoken, and the word that I have spoken shall no more be delayed or prolonged. You know, and the Lord chastised them. He said, in your days, O rebellious house, because, you know, they were never believing the word of the Lord, and they didn't sanctify his word in his heart, in their hearts. So let us not be called a rebellious house. But the Lord said, in your days, O ye children of the Lord, have I spoken the word, and also in your days will I perform it. Well, in this year, the Lord spoke it, and in this year, will it also perform it. And then they said, you know, the people said, well, you know, the vision that he says for many days to come, I mean, he's prophesying of times to come. You know, well, we don't know. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's 10 years from now. Maybe it's 12 years from now. The Lord said, no. Say unto them, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. Hallelujah. Time no longer. In fact, there was a vision of a great angel that come out of the sun. And he stood and raised up his hand, right hand, he raised it up to heaven, and he swore. He put one foot upon the land and one foot upon the sea, and he swore by him that liveth forever and ever that there shall be time no longer, no more delay. And Ezekiel said the same thing here. That's in Revelation 10, by the way. And Ezekiel said the same thing here. He said, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I have spoken, hallelujah, shall be done, saith the Lord. Have I spoken unto you that you will emerge and that you will experience a quantum leap? Have I spoken and am I not able to bring it to pass, saith the Lord? Hallelujah. Who among you can call the Lord a liar? That he is a man that changes his mind back and forth. I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and it shall be done, saith the Lord. Trust ye with your whole heart in the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is our exhortation to you today. On such a day as this, this first day of this 10th month, the waters that have been receding gradually will be fully abated, and the top of the mountains will be seen. You will now see the revelation of the glory of the Lord that he has promised you. And again, this day shall be the beginning of months for this platform, saith the Lord. We will begin to see new things. I've been praying about it. Show me something new, Lord. Well, something new means something I have not seen. Something means what I have not entered. Something new I have not entered into my heart. Well, we've seen miracles. We've heard of all kinds of things. But I want to see something new. You know, we want, and what I'm looking for is salvation to spring forth that. You know, people begin to come in this room and giving their lives to Christ. You know, because the scripture says, he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come back again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves. And we've stood before the Lord and prayed. And the Lord said, yes, your tears of faith shall turn into a harvesting of joy. Hallelujah. And a harvesting of souls. And that's what we're looking for. The Lord said, my house, the meal is ready. The supper is made. But those that were first invited made light of it. Therefore, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And he did. And he came back and said, well, you know, there's still more room. So he said, well, go again. Hallelujah. So there is still more room for people and we are believing the Lord to bring us a harvesting of souls. And there is going to be an enlargement of your coasts also. We talked about it yesterday, how you must go forward and go through the gates that God has already opened. From the place where you are, look forward. And all that you can see is all I will give you, saith the Lord. That's what the Lord told Abraham. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. Lord God Almighty, that which you have spoken with your mouth, let it be performed by your right hand and your holy arm in the lives of your people, even as it is this day. You have spoken the voice of the Lord unto us that we will emerge. Again, you have spoken that we shall experience that quantum leap, that the things that we have struggled for a long time shall suddenly come to pass. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, O Lord, do the performing of it, even as you have said, that my words shall no longer be prolonged. Now, therefore, let not your words, O Lord, be delayed anymore, for our God shall come. We're waiting for him. He shall come and he shall save us. Now, Lord, let your word take effect upon the lives of these your children that look unto you daily. Hallelujah. They have been coming into this platform every day, and the faithful ones have been here for 2 years. And now, in the third day, we are set for perfection. The glory of the Lord coming upon the people. Let us see the light of his glory, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let us see it, Lord. And let us arise and shine and enter into that which the Lord has reserved for us. It will no longer be prolonged, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, not by might, neither yet by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not your preparation for the race. The race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong. But the Lord's word is going to bring it into effect, saith the Lord. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine, unto him be praise and glory and honor and adoration. Now, we thank you, Lord, for this platform. Hallelujah. And I want to bless the Lord for everyone that has been a part of this platform. Some of you have been there since the platform began, even before it began. My dear wife, the lovely Lady Ebon, has been with me in the ministry for 50 years. And this is an expansion now of the work of the ministry. The Bible says the gifts are given for the work of the ministry. Now, this work of the ministry that the Lord began, many of you have been a part of it from day one. Some of you joined 2 or 3 months after it started, some 6, some even a year, and some just joined lately. Doesn't matter. We've seen the story of the man who came in at the 11th hour. All the men that came in, the ones that labored from the beginning, and the ones that came in at the end, 11th hour workers, God made them all the same. Now, those of you that are here now, you know, even Paul, he said, I was born as one out of season. You know, I persecuted the church, but when it pleased the Lord to reveal the Son of God in me, you know, I did not frustrate the grace of God, but I labored more than everyone else by the grace of God, not me, but his grace labored in me. So those of you that are coming in just now, you can even labor more than those that have been here. You can come on in here, bring in souls to this platform. can roll up your sleeves and get in the ditch, in the trenches, so to speak, not ditch. Get in the trenches and do the hard work and let us reap. The Bible says the harvest is ripe. The fields are white to harvest, but the laborers are few. And God is gathering laborers to come on in here and do this work. May the Lord appoint you a role in the laboring and in the harvesting of souls. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, concerning your personal needs, the declare has already gone forth. The decree has gone forth yesterday that the gates are already opened unto you. Spiritual gates were opened. Material gates were opened. Physical gates were opened. All of the things blocking you, you know, God has struck them down. He has commanded the gates to be opened. He has broken the gates of brass. He has cut asunder the bars of iron. Today, we're just celebrating and rejoicing in that victory. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of the Lord has been declared to you. Therefore, celebrate the goodness of the Lord. When Jehoshaphat heard the word of the Lord, he worshipped. Hallelujah. So let's worship. Let's praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord the praise because he has done it. Hallelujah. And you are going to experience it and we'll be hearing testimonies. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.